Hello and welcome to Glitch Cube, our gaming podcast, and each week we take a deeper look at the art of video games. As always, I'm Christian.
And I'm Chris.
And welcome back, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us once again as we dive further into the world of games. So, this week we come to you with a heavy heart. This is some sad news that we got this week. An amazing creator, one that really sculpted a lot of childhoods, ours included, has recently passed away, and that is Akira Toriyama. He passed away on the 1st of March, and it was announced on the 8th, which was yesterday as far as this recording goes. So we wanted to get this out right away. We had a different topic lined up, but this just seemed too important to not discuss or talk about, because his work really, really inspired our generation, and it's very sad to see him go. I mean, his art style is so iconic. We see it in games and movies and shows. If you don't know the name, you know his work. If you've ever seen Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, or any of those things, or if you're a gamer, you know, we got Dragon Quest, Chrono Trigger. It's just, or Sandland, which is coming out soon. There's so much that Akira Toriyama has touched and given us. Right. And it's sad. These last few years, we've lost a lot of amazing artists. And here's just another one that was taken too soon. He was only in his 60s. And it's unfortunate, really, that we won't have him anymore. There's plenty of people who can mimic his style or keep it going, but it just won't be the same without Akira Toriyama behind it all. His work is just phenomenal, and it's just sad to see him go, right? Like, it sucks.
It's weird to think about, like, you don't know how much something has kind of not molded or shaped you. It's hard to describe, but it's like you don't really realize it until, like, something is gone. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, every time I would see his work, I'd always be like, it would always bring, like, memories, right? And I never really, like, thought about it. I was just always like, oh, for some reason, like, it was a very iconic look that kind of looked different from other styles back then. At least, you know, how I looked at it, right? Especially if you go back to, like, the 90s, where a lot of, like, anime looked very, I don't want to say they all, like, a lot of them looked very, like, there was a certain style to it, but his was always more, I don't want to say wholesome, because I don't want to make it sound like, you know, like, it's not as, like, defined, but, like, it just felt comforting.
And he had a signature look. Like, you cannot look at his artwork and not know that he did it. It's like,
it's like, you know, Ghibli, like, stuff.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like, you look at Ghibli artwork and it's like, okay, I know the studio that made this. I know the creator. So it's, yeah, his look is very, very, very iconic. It's rough. Sorry to cut you off, but I just remember, like, in art class, only drawing in that style. For a long, long time when I was a kid, and I used to get bashed by my art teachers, like, this isn't realistic enough or anything. I'm like, oh, I don't want to draw realistic. I want to draw this. There was something just so, like, eye-catching about it, and the way that he was able to express emotions and, like, stretch, and there was just something about it that really made you feel more the characters. Like, you felt the seriousness at times, but they can go very soft and goofy too. And he just had a very, like, well-placed blend of those, and was able to tell a story clearly through the characters that he designed. And the character development was just so unique, and the story development was so unique. I mean, you look at characters like Cell or Frieza or even like, I mean, like Goku, Vegeta, obviously, but it's just, it's crazy to see the evolution through the seasons, through the arcs, and just what kind of characters came out of it. And every single one is iconic in their own way. I mean, even the simple characters that were only in one part, right? Like Jet and Raditz or like all that stuff. Like there's so much there that is just so memorable. And I'm definitely going to miss that art style. And I don't think that it's ever going to be the same knowing that he's not really a part of it.
Yeah. I remember for me as a kid, you know, it was, I feel like when anime was really getting big in like the mid 90s, I don't really remember what first drew me to it. You know, I mean, I think like a lot of people, I was always stuck on Cartoon Network. And then with Toonami coming in, you know, I remember, you know, being done with school, you turn on Toonami, and I felt like it was always like Ronin Warriors, or it was always like one anime that I was just never really interested in at first. And then afterwards, it'd always be Dragon Ball. And I think it was Dragon Ball Z that I saw first. I don't think I saw Dragon Ball first. And I remember being like, whoa, like, what is this? Right? Like, the only exposure to anime or anything like that was through games. And even, you know, you have to think back then, it's like, all those games are pixelated. So the only kind of anime I would ever see, or that art style alone, would be like on game boxes. Or, you know, if I went to a comic shop that had manga, like that was it. But seeing like Dragon Ball Z for the first time, I was like, whoa, like this is, what is this? Like, this is cool, you know? And then right after that, I'd be like Gundam Wing, which, you know, I loved even more. And it just became this thing where like I felt like that show taught me a lot of things. And it's weird because, you know, there's 10 filler episodes between each fight, right?
Yeah. The joke is like, how long did it take Goku to turn Super Saiyan for the first time?
Like six episodes of him screaming. In between all those episodes, it's like there'd always be something that I wouldn't say it teaches you a life lesson, but they always tried to like slip something in that just made it seem like positive. Mm. Or at least that's what I got out of as a kid. And I really liked it. And, you know, it became kind of like this comfort show. And I loved how long it was because it just meant that there'd be more to consume. And it's, oddly enough, I never got around to like the Buu saga, right? Like I don't know why, like I remember watching bits of it, but around that time I think I started getting much more into Gundam. So I kind of just fell off of it, but I remember once I went through Dragon Ball, I realized like, oh, I like this more. So I always like felt like that series was always kind of special to me, just because it definitely feels more innocent. And I know, I feel like there's less filler in it, but I know there still is filler as well. But it, something about that really comforts me. And, you know, I still think to this day about how during this point in my life, I was living in the South. We had moved out there from LA, and you know, it's the middle of the South, like Tennessee, right? You're not going to find that kind of stuff out there very easy compared to like, say, the West Coast. But randomly in a mall, there was this guy selling imported VHS tapes and games. And obviously I couldn't play the games because, you know, I didn't have a Japanese, you know, SNES or PlayStation. So I was like, oh, I'll do a VHS. And they had Dragon Ball GT. And I was like, whoa, what is this? You know, like I had never heard about it at that point. And I was so stoked on it. I felt so special owning like these three VHS tapes of these episodes. And like, it was so cool because all my friends were like, what is that? Like, we were all getting into it at the time. And it's special, you know, like in a lot of ways, I felt like I haven't really ever had that excitement again since then. So it's always been kind of special to me.
Yeah, GT was it was awesome definitely find. Like I scoured for that when I found out about GT. And this is like early days of the internet. So I'm like looking up random images on Google, like, what is this? What is going on? And like trying to figure it out and piece the stories together. And whenever I finally found a copy of it, oh my gosh, I was obsessed. I mean, like looking back, like that arc is weird. Yeah, that arc is definitely different. And it's apparently not canon, right? And all that stuff. But it was, I don't know, there was something so special about finding that. And just being so excited mm-hmm. about that. And yeah, it's just, there's a lot to what was created there. I mean, besides just the comfort of knowing that that show was always there. I mean, they're still making new Dragon Ball. They're coming out with a new one, Dragon Ball Daima now, right? Like it feels like it's always going to be there. And it felt great knowing that. But now knowing that, you know, Toriyama is not going to be here with us anymore. It's sad, and it's a wake up call, right? And it just kind of lets you know that, you know, these guys are mortal too, and things cannot last forever. So we have to really appreciate the time that we have with them. And I feel like it, oddly enough, Dragon Ball really inspired a weird nerd, right? And it inspired that workout nerd, which I loved, right? It, like, I remember going to the gym and just like full sending it and just lifting as heavy as I can go. And in my head, I'm like, hell yeah, dude, I'm going Super Saiyan right now. Like, we're going all out. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that felt that same way. I mean, there's so many workout shirts with Dragon Ball on there. There's people that are not really into anime, but they know Dragon Ball. They know Dragon Ball Z. They feel that whenever they're out there. They feel that power, that just raw instinct of just going for it. And I love how the show actually put a lot of emphasis behind training. Like, sure, it was filler, but it showed that you put the work in. It wasn't just about these people that, I mean, sure, yeah, they are like kind of quote-unquote chosen ones, but they put the work in. They train their asses off to get to the levels that they're at. And it inspired a lot of us to do the same thing. I mean, the joke now is like with One Punch Man, where he took that training level and was like, oh, well, his training regimen was so serious. It was 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and running a 5K every day or something, right? To become the most powerful being in the world. So it's kind of like a rip of the trainings that Dragon Ball did. But it just showed that it's possible. It's possible for anybody to get to those levels, to better themselves, to do something else. And that really sparked something in me. And I still take that with me for sure. Gosh. It's just so weird still. And still trying to like really absorb it all. And I mean, even my partner, who's never really watched any anime at all, really, and doesn't watch Dragon Ball Z, never grew up watching it, knows the quote of "It's over now, 9,000." There's such iconic moments that just supersede everything, and they just have become memorable for everyone. And it's crazy to think that, and I can't think of any other animes that actually do that. Really, right? Like, there's a couple out there, maybe, like your Pokemon,
yeah,
and Yu-Gi-Oh, but like at the level that Akira Toriyama created, there isn't any at that level.
It's to me, I feel like Dragon Ball as a whole, it's a franchise that like no one, like no other anime I felt like has come close, in the sense where like you said, like non-anime people know about it. I've never really come across that with anything else other than maybe Pokemon, but I mean, Pokemon was more of a game, right? So it makes a little more sense that that would be wildly more popular in a sense with like anyone. But it's interesting because it's like, I feel like you talk to anyone our age or, you know, down to like maybe 20s, maybe even younger, because it's been going on for so long, like everyone has at least like most people have experienced it at some point. And it's interesting, like hearing people like that you wouldn't expect were really into it. And it's cool. You know, it really goes to show that like art can affect everyone in different ways. But in those different ways, we're all alike because we all share an appreciation for this art. And yeah. It's sad, but it's cool, you know, because it's like, it's this weird bonding experience. Like, you know, there's so many times like I'll see people mourn a celebrity or mourn someone and they'll be like really sad about something. I'm like, I never really get that way. Right. I mean, I don't want to say this. I never really feel emotional about a lot of things in general, but it's like this one, I was like, oh, this is kind of a bummer. Cause this is like my childhood, you know? Yeah. And, it's weird feeling that. And, you know, for me, it wasn't just about Dragon Ball. I think like that was definitely big, but I think that art style transcending into like the game side of stuff really solidified my love of his art style. And, you know, for me back in the day, like I know that he worked with Dragon Quest the whole time, but in the US, I don't remember his style being attached to 1 and 2. And I remember playing that on the Game Boy and I was like, whatever about it. But when 3 came out, I remember the box art and I was like, hey, this looks like Gohan. Like, I want to play that. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I loved it. And then the other Dragon Warriors came out. And then, you know, they changed Dragon Quest. And I was like, oh my God, this is like Dragon Ball. This is so cool. And something that I was looking into the other day was like games that really meant a lot to me. And I was thinking of start posting a bunch of them. But I started off with Dragon Warrior 7 because the main character, you know, he looks like Gohan in a lot of ways. And that game meant so much to me. And, you know, I remember looking through the manual back in the day and seeing all the art and everything. And I was like, this is so cool. You know, because it's like, there's only so much of like Dragon Ball you can get, but it's like, I want to see more art. And I really enjoy reading manga, but I'm always more in the sense I'd rather watch an anime than read because it's just easier to fit in to my like, I don't know, time slots, I guess. Whereas like reading a book is like takes all my attention, whereas watching something, I can usually at least do that with something else. But for me, his art in the Dragon Quest games just means a lot because, I mean, as I've gotten older, I would say it's not my most favorite franchise anymore like it used to be. But it is a franchise that I've actually played at least all the mainline games and quite a lot of the spinoffs. And I think in part of that was the art. Like it just, I loved seeing the new character on the game and it made me want to see what it was all about. And, you know, it was awesome. And for me, I wanted more games with that style. And with Chrono Trigger, that was the other one, right? Mm-hmm. That was big back then.
That artwork.
And there was something
so memorable.
Every character.
Yeah.
It's in a lot of ways I felt like the artwork on that is maybe some of the most timeless that I've seen. Like, I mean, Dragon Ball is timeless too, but for some reason, like, the way the art looks on Chrono Trigger, it just feels very, it stands out more, right? It's very pronounced, very iconic. And
I mean, to this day, Frog is still my favorite character design of all time. I absolutely love Frog. I don't know why, but he is my favorite character ever designed. And I have bought Chrono Trigger on every single thing that I could possibly buy it on just because I want to see that. It's kind of crazy and a little ridiculous, but I keep buying that game because of the artwork. And I mean, obviously, it's a fantastic game. It's a great story. It's super iconic for the RPG genres as well. But the artwork is what grabbed me originally and what still continues to this day.
Yeah, I remember playing it, and I didn't play it on the Super Nintendo. I played it on the PlayStation, which, you know, there's people that have comment about that port. But the thing I loved about it were the cutscenes mm-hmm. and the animation, because it was just pure, like, anime cutscenes, and it was amazing. I loved it. It made me so happy. It made me love that game way more. And for me, that game is such a special experience. And I know a lot of people will always say, oh, it's one of the greatest RPGs ever made, which, you know, to this day, I still hold it very high up there for many reasons. But the characters, while not the most fascinating lore-wise, their look, their personification of their appearance makes them so memorable that it's like, I can play any RPG, but for some reason, Chrono Triggers, it's like, I can remember every party member. I can remember so much about that game, yet I haven't played it in probably 15 years. You know, it was probably the last time I played it. And there's just something about it, you know? And this thing that was kind of sad was when Chrono Cross came out, I was expecting that art style, and it wasn't there. And I was like... Mm-hmm. Bummed. I mean, it's not a bad game. It's just I was expecting that art style. And so, I mean, yeah, that was kind of the bummer about it. And I know he did art for a lot of other games after that, but I didn't really experience too much with them. Like, I never got into the Tobal games. I have Blue Dragon, which I really do want to play, but mm-hmm. I never got around to it. Just because the character kind of looks like Goku, so I was kind of, like, interested in it. But, yeah, you know, it's... Tying it back to Dragon Ball, I never got into Super, but something that I think made me realize how much I love Dragon Ball as a whole was a few years ago, I played that Dragon Ball Z Kakarot game, and...
That was great.
Being able... Yeah, and apparently it's got a bunch of DLC that actually goes through, like, Super storyline and all this kind of stuff. Like, they've, like, expanded on it. But for the base game, it was cool being able to relive everything from the show. And it made me appreciate the show a lot more. Because as I was getting older, I was starting to look back at Dragon Ball Z like, oh, it's all filler. Oh, it's too long. All this kind of stuff, like almost like kind of dampening my nostalgia a little bit. But playing that, I was like, man, it's interesting when you look at what people considered art and stuff like 50, 60 years ago. And you look at stuff now like this, and I'm like, this is art. Like, it's just different generations, but this, like, his work is going to carry on for decades. You know, it's something that's going to forever influence people. It's forever going to be there in our minds. And it's cool because, I don't know, for me, that doesn't happen too often with this kind of stuff.
Same. I agree 100%. His style, what he's created and what he's done for anime, for gaming, for our generation, for, you know, for countless generations, honestly, and for countless people, is just, it's going to live on forever, and it's never going to be forgotten. It's going to be with us till the end of time. He's revolutionized everything. He's changed the way that we design our characters, that we tell stories. I mean, his work is what created Shonen, honestly. It's what made it what it is today. And it's huge and just so iconic, so memorable. And really just want to say thank you to him, and just we appreciate everything that he's done for us and everything he's given us, and just these amazing memories that we're able to carry with us for the rest of our lives. And I know I'm never going to forget my time with Dragon Ball, with his artwork, with his style, or anything like that. And I'm excited to see what else he inspires in the future, despite no longer being here with us anymore. So. All right, well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you guys for joining us, and just thank you for going down memory lane with us about Akira Toriyama and all the amazing things that he's created here. But yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week with some more games and all that good stuff. But until then, bye for now.